All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right, what's happening, people? Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I'm super excited because we've got an absolute rock star on the line this week. And I know I say that every week about every person, but this person actually is, especially when it comes to fat loss, hypertrophy, and body composition or body recomposition in general. He's the Fitness Education Online body recomposition expert. If you go to our website, you go to the section on body composition, he's the only one that's got courses there. So he knows a thing or two about the topic. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Mr. Ben Seong. Ben, how are you?
Thank you, sir. I'm very good. I thought I was very special until obviously you did this every week with someone.
Yeah.
I'm great, buddy. I'm great. I'm very, very excited to do this podcast with you. I mean, last time we kind of talked about it as a concept, and we've got some interest from the group, which is great. So I've kind of, you know, been thinking about certain topics that we can kind of talk about. And I'm sure that, you know, as we go through this this podcast, you'd be asking some interesting questions. And so I'm ready to delve into it. Let's go. Let's talk about fat loss.
Awesome. Let's give a bit of context as well. So for everyone listening, this will be a four-part podcast. So we've got four different topics. We'll be releasing them probably over the next 4 weeks. The first one is around myths. Should we give away the next three now, Benny, or should we leave them as a surprise?
I think we can kind of talk about it and then delve into each part.
Awesome. All right. Well, week one, we're going with fat loss myths, which we're covering today. Week two, we're going to be talking about calories. Week three or week four, I'm not sure exactly what order we're doing it, but we're going to be talking about plateaus. And we're also going to be talking around menopause and fat loss. But let's dive into the first one. Myths around fat loss. There's a billion of them out there. Which one are we going to start with, Benny?
Well, I would say that the most common myth that I would see is this perception of spending time in the gym and the results you're going to get out of that. You know, so you see a lot of people in this sort of the understanding of I want to lose fat in a fat loss phase means I got to be spending more time in the gym because more is better. And for whatever reason, this has been drilled into their system that if I put in more effort in the gym doing whatever I'm doing, and they people tend to equate effort with time. If I spend more time in the gym, I will start to see more results. And sometimes this can mean people actually not doing much in the gym, looking at their phone, social media, taking too much breaks between your workouts, all that kind of stuff, which prolongs their time. Now, we're not talking about those instances. We're talking about time where people actually believe that if they train for 2 hours, that if they, after their 2 hour training, then go and do more classes, you know, a Zumba class, a spin class, a that class, spend 4 hours in the gym and walk out of the gym, they feel like they have got their bang for buck. I have finally, you know, done my time in order to lose fat. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest, I would say, misconceptions that I see with general population going to this gym, because their understanding is associated with more effort equals more results. And what we understand about the body and what we need to understand about the hormonal system is that one hormone that is extremely important for us when we start training is this hormone called cortisol. Now, you've probably heard about cortisol. Cortisol is what we call the stress hormone. Yeah. So cortisol has a sort of a bad reputation attached for the people go, oh, that's no good. Cortisol is a stress hormone. But in fact, cortisol is extremely useful for your body. That's why your body produces it. It is the one hormone that wakes us up in the morning, gives us that zest. But cortisol is also being released as you work out, right? It is a stress, it is an adrenaline, it's a mild adrenaline. So it gives you that oomph as you work out. So as you work out, you want cortisol. Cortisol increases, but there comes a period of time where at the end of the workout, if you continue to keep pushing yourself through the workout, the amount of cortisol that your body produces increases. So what is bad about this increase in cortisol? The problem with the increase in cortisol at the end of a workout is the fact that at that particular point in time, your body has to make choices as to whether it allows that cortisol to go up, or your body can actually prevent that cortisol from going up and start to produce hormones that increase the repair of your muscles, the repair of your body, such as testosterone, right? What we understand is that cortisol and testosterone are actually derived from the same parent hormone called pregnenolone. And so your body has this hormone. It's a steroid hormone called pregnenolone, and it's in a finite reserve in your body. So there's only a certain amount. Imagine if you are increasing your cortisol as you work out, pregnenolone would then distribute its molecules to create cortisol. So that cortisol is useful. As you're starting to work out, you're getting that cortisol boost. You are, you know, getting your driven, you can drive, you can push. Great. But then at the end of the workout, you are fatigued, you're tired. If you continue to keep pushing yourself 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 1 hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, what happens is your body is forced to produce more cortisol because that's what your body does. Because your body produces more cortisol, there is only a certain amount of the parent hormone, pregnenolone, available in your body. And so what happens is your body then diverts that pregnenolone into making cortisol, but takes it away from making your sex hormones, such as testosterone.
Yeah, wow.
So
that's great.
At the expense of increasing stress,
mm.
you suppress your testosterone. We all know that one reason we go to the gym to train is to put on muscle, right? Mm. You train hard and you want to recover, you want to put on muscle. Why? Because muscle helps you to burn calories. It is what allows you to lose fat in the long run.
Mm.
But the problem with that is if you're training for too long, you actually break down muscle because you don't allow your body to produce the testosterone that you need to maintain that muscle, to build that muscle.
That's
so training too long in the gym backfires.
let me jump in here for a sec, Ben, because I think this is cool for a couple different reasons. I think number one, I'm
sure.
a sales guy, right? I like sales, I like marketing. I think that's a great message from a sales perspective for the trainers listening to this, right? If you want to get a message out there,
mm-hmm.
on social media, if you can put out things where it's like, hey, you know, if you want to get in shape, if you want to get fit, if you want to put on muscle, if you want to lose weight, here's how you can do it in a more time effective manner. That's a great selling point because a lot of, well, time is one of the most valuable resources out there today. And also a lot of people don't,
absolutely.
A lot of people don't love exercise. So if you can combine those two things, hey, you don't have to do it for a long time and you're going to get better results. I think that's a great sales tool. And I want to kind of use that as a good opportunity.
Absolutely.
Onto one of your next points, Ben. We talked a bit off air in terms of type of exercise. So we've mentioned duration, you know, longer is not necessarily better. What about types in terms of, can probably cover off a few things here, but I guess we're going to be talking about cardio versus resistance and maybe having some hit in there. What can you tell us about that for fat loss?
Where do I start with that? So we understand that all exercise, any sort of activity will increase the burn of calories, right? Mm-hmm. From your basal metabolic rate. So the more activity you do, the more calories you burn. Yes. But what we need to understand is that, let's say you do resistance training. When you do resistance training, or you go to the gym and you train with weights, there is a whole process that your body undergoes. Essentially, you'll be sort of creating damage within your muscle. Microtrauma is what we call it, inflammation in your body. The process of lifting weights, the process of creating tension in your body and inflammation and all this generates your body's response to recover. Because as you train, you actually break your body down. So the body's number one function is to prevent its own breakdown. And as a result of that, your body would increase its ability to restore itself, to build itself. So the release of testosterone, the activation of satellite cells, the release of growth factors, yeah, HGH, all that kind of stuff is the body's response for survival, what we call recovery. As the body does that, you build more muscle tissue. As you build more muscle tissue, your metabolic rate increases even at a resting state. So we know resistance training allows you to increase your caloric burn while you're resting. Mm-hmm. If you have more muscle on you today, Jono, you will be burning more calories just by doing exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why resistance training is so good, because it's really, you want to see it, it's an investment. It's an investment in building muscle. When you have more muscle, all you're going to be doing is burning more calories. So mm-hmm. that allows... It's literally allowing your muscles to work for you over time while you're resting.
Mm, that's great. Couple
if you're looking at cardio,
Well, from the, I just want to jump in
Yes.
everything. The sales and marketing side of things, another great one as well. Hey, do you want to burn fat while you sleep? And actually give a real response and not lie to them about some, some pill or whatever. There's a great thing as well.
Absolutely.
Did you know? Hey, if you go and, do your cardio, you do your weights, maybe you burn the same amount of calories throughout, maybe in that 60-minute period or 45-minute period. But here's the advantage of resistance training. Along with doing that, you're also burning afterwards there. So I think that's a great kind of selling point as well.
Spot on. And so you've covered my other point, which is if you're doing cardio, it will burn calories until you stop doing cardio. Now, what happens?
You're
Right?
stopping
When
the
you stop
calories.
doing cardio, you stop burning the excess calories. So cardio is great. I mean, it's great for the heart, it's great for a variety of reasons, but it will stop that excess caloric burn once you are resting. And that's what we need to understand. So the combination of resistance exercise, the combination of cardio is going to be a great combination for fat loss, no doubt about it. But there are workouts that we can drive or increase the amount of fat burn in the style of workout that you're providing for the client as well. We actually did a seminar on increasing fat burn through programming, and I'm sure the guys will be able to get that from you or the information from you with regards to that. So programming for fat loss, how do we actually program for a fat loss program? And so we need to take this to account. So while cardio is a sort of a universal tool that people use for fat loss, and it is effective, once you stop cardio, the body stops burning excess calories. The problem with cardio that I find is that a lot of general population clientele would tend to go to a gym to do cardio. And you will see this everywhere in commercial gyms. The moment they go into the gym, a lot of people are there because they're comfortable with cardio machines. So the first thing they'll ask is, do you have a treadmill? Do you have a stepper or a walker? And what they will do when they join the gym is literally hop on the stepper and spend 40 minutes and go home. Now, that's great for movement per se, right? But essentially, you're working on a machine. I mean, you could buy that machine and put it in your house. You don't have to go to the gym for it. But people go to the gym for a machine, right? Not to work out with anyone, but for a machine. A lot of people get addicted to the fact that when they are doing sort of steady state cardio and they're up there for 40 minutes, they're losing weight to start off with. This is great. And so what happens is they go, now, if I do 40 minutes and I'm losing this amount of weight, imagine if I did 1 hour. Now imagine if I did 1.5 hours. Imagine if I did, and this is that concept again. We're coming back to that more is better concept. So a lot of people start to spend more time in the gym, not just doing the machines. They start to join classes. They start to go, okay, well, if I join the Zumba class for an hour, I finish that, I'll do a spin class for an hour, and then I might do a body pump class for an hour. I'll do a different, Les Mills or this or that. And what happens is an accumulation of all these cardio classes. In the short term, will you increase caloric burn? Absolutely. But in the long term, when there is prolonged steady state cardio, what tends to happen again is that your body increases the amount of cortisol. So cortisol, that stress hormone, gets increased in your body over time because you're spending way too much time doing prolonged steady state cardio. And all the benefits that you're looking for cardiovascular health actually dissipates with that amount of work that you are doing over a prolonged period of time. It's like you already hit your potential for cardiovascular health. But what you're trying to do now is to lose weight. When there is an excessive production of stress or cortisol in your body, the body reacts in a different way. Instead of just burning the calories, you start to store fat now. Your body goes, something's off with the excessive amount of cortisol. I am going to take a protective stance for my body, and I will start to store fat. And where you typically store fat is in the front of your belly, right? So the front of your belly, exactly. So and abdominal fat, the front of your abdomen, and you start to store fat there. You will also find that individuals will start to break down protein amino acids from the extremities, the arms and the legs, and it feeds to the gut. So you get fatter in
Sounds like the
front,
worst
but you get
body.
skinny arms
This
and
sounds like a
skinny
nightmare.
legs. Correct. That body is what I call CEO syndrome, because you see a lot of CEOs of companies that have neglected, their eating habits or training habits. Over time, they've got a big gut, they've got skinny arms and skinny legs because that's the function of excessive cortisol day in, day out.
That's
So
great.
we need to look at this and we go, cardio is a great tool, yes. But for how long? If you keep doing it, if you keep increasing the amount of time that you do cardio, Understand that your body will start to take the shape of that CEO syndrome that you don't want to happen. So we really got to look at what you're choosing.
I'll jump in. I think great sales message again on a couple of different ways, depending on who your clientele is as a personal trainer. It can be along the lines of, you know, hey, you've gone to the gym, you know, you do your classes, you enjoy your cardio, you've lost that first 5, 6, 10 kilos, whatever it may be, but now you're struggling to lose that last little bit. Did you know if you keep doing this, this is what's going to happen, all right? Another sales message.
Spot on.
You know, are you a busy entrepreneur or a busy business person? You know, have you noticed this CO build that you kind of see? Hey, this is common with COs because of boom, 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 boom. You want to switch it around? Hey, do my program. So great. I do, Ben, I've got just some quick fire questions here I can throw at you. I want to be sensitive of time because we do want to, you know, save for the next couple of weeks. But can I throw some quick fire questions at you that have just come up in the Facebook group? But let's make
it. Yeah, sure.
No more than 60 seconds. So, because these topics, Ben, I think you could give a
60 seconds. All right. Let's go.
Seminar on all these ones here. So, let's do it. Actually, I'm going to start with one here. And I want to give, I know your take on it. So, if you can portray your take on it. All right.
Yeah, sure.
Can you spot reduce? If someone has a big belly and they want to lose that belly, the common thing is, you know, you can't spot reduce. Benny, what's your take?
Correct. My take is you cannot spot reduce by exercise, but you can potentially look at spot reduction through hormones. We understand, we spoke about cortisol. We said that cortisol in the long run, excessive cortisol actually adds to the front of your belly. So if I am effective to reduce that cortisol load, I effectively can help you reduce fat in the front of your belly. But it is through hormones, rebalancing your hormones as opposed to spot reduction. So doing X amount of sit-ups doesn't mean you're going to get a six-pack. You know, you're still going to be fat, right? So it's all about working with the hormones that dictate what happens with your physique.
Got it. 33 seconds. Not bad. Myth. You can't eat carbs if you want to lose body fat. Benny Seong's take.
False. False. That is a huge false myth. I mean, of course, I mean, carbs are essential for your body. Essential in the terms that from a scientific point of view, your body doesn't need to take in carbs. It can produce glucose. However, for performance, for mitigation of cortisol, for overall health, right? For longevity, in fact, we need to look at carbs. So you can definitely take in carbs. The key here is looking at your overall caloric content through the entire day. Okay, mm-hmm. That's one thing. So how much calories you take, calorie in, calorie out, that's a very important equation that we're going to discuss as well as we move to calories.
Awesome. All right. This one's interesting. We've kind of covered this one, but I'll ask it in a different way. I can't lose fat because my metabolism is broken. Is that similar to what you're kind of mentioning? Run me through. What's your take on that? Someone comes into you, Ben, I'm struggling to lose fat because my metabolism is broken.
Yeah. So I would question where they got that idea that your metabolism is broken. If you actually look at recent studies in 2023, they would tell you, again, from the research, there's no real such thing as a broken metabolism in that sense. You know, a lot of people will give excuses on why they cannot lose fat. It's always great to find an excuse, whether you're big bone, whether, you know, you've got a poor metabolism, whether your thyroid is down, whether what we need to understand first and foremost, is it the chicken or the egg? We understand also that, for example, if you are someone over this period of time that has bad eating habits, and as a result of that, has actually put on a lot of weight, that process of putting on a lot of weight, bad eating habits, lack of activity, will naturally lower your thyroid function. Now, when you go check your thyroid function and it's lowered, is it a function of you behaving a certain way that got you there?
10 seconds.
Or is it because you've got low thyroid function? So I would say it's the other way around typically.
Gotcha.
Okay. Awesome. So that's a myth.
All right. You have to eat as little as possible to lose body fat.
Myth. Absolute myth. I mean, you definitely have to reduce calories from your baseline to start losing fat. But there will come a point where your body does not want to lose any more fat, even though your caloric count keeps dropping. This is a protective mechanism for your body, right? So as you keep dropping your calories, I've seen people drop to 900 calories, but in fact, at 900 calories, they're getting fatter. They're putting on body fat. They're tired, energyless, their sex drive is down. They can't function properly. So the body starts to shut down. Its metabolic rate starts to lower itself to protect itself. Now, as a result of that, in order to lose weight, you actually need to up your calories, not drop it. You need to take up your calories so your body understands there is enough calories coming through. It feels safe and it starts to regulate its metabolism again.
Gotcha. That reminds me as well. You mentioned the sex drive there. I think that's another good selling point as well for the trainers listening to this. They're things you can put on social media. You know, hey, is this you? Boom, 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 boom. Add in the sex drive in there as well. That will get people's attention. So love that.
I'm sure.
we got one here, calories in, calories out, but we're going to discuss that next week anyway. And then the final one is you need cardio to lose weight. I think we've kind of covered that. Maybe just finalize that off. Is your take on that, Ben? You can lose weight with zero cardio? Or maybe go on that. Do you need cardio to lose weight?
My take is that I think cardio is a very useful tool for a variety of reasons. Cardio will definitely increase your ability to lose fat. There's no doubt about that. But we also know that cardio can actually help to increase your recovery between sets. A lot of people tend to negate the fact that if your cardiovascular capacity is better, your ability to recover between sets in the workout is also better. So I think for recovery and for the purposes of overall health, cardio is great. But using that as a tool on its own accord to lose weight is not going to be effective in the long term for sustenance. If you want to continually lose weight, you need something to work for you while you're resting. Because cardio only works if you are actively doing it, right? And if you're doing too much of it, it backfires and increases stress. So resistance training combined with cardio is going to be effective in fat loss.
Boom. Awesome. All right. That's Ben Siong. He's the author of the course, Fat Loss or Training Principles of Fat Loss. If you're interested in that, we'll put the link down in the show notes. Benny, anything to finish off with? Or if not, give your social media as a plug.
Sure. You guys can find me on Ben Performance Coach on Instagram. With particularly the seminars that you're looking at right here, go have a look at it. It will give you the information that you would need to allow you to create better results for fat loss for a client.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your clients' needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, or you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.